Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, game six tonight for the Rockets, 8 o'clock tip. Trying to even this series at 3, bring it back home for a game seven. That would be a very fun Sunday. A Lance McCullers return for the Astros and a game seven for the Rockets. We pray for that. That would be fantastic. As far as things, keys to this game or keys to this series, I'm just looking. You and I have scratched a bunch of notes down here, Seth, about this thing. One of the ones we didn't touch on early in the show when we were talking about this, and I think this is one that you had in here, and I think it's an interesting X factor, that this is the stage of the series where there's only one day in between games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cross-country travel going on right now mm-hmm. that would seemingly be more agreeable with younger legs than older legs. And the most important legs for the Rockets are the younger legs on this. They've got some older guys. Obviously, the three most important guys for the Warriors are all well above the age of 30 right now. So does the travel, the lack of off days, the fact that from an intensity standpoint, this is not a great matchup for an older team because the Rockets play you all 94 feet of the floor. They're very intense defensively. Effort's never an issue for the Rockets. Is that something that eventually catches up with the Warriors here? I think it's probably something to watch tonight. In a way, the Rockets blowing the Warriors out the way that they did in Game 5, in a weird way, may have done the Warriors a small favor, wherein if you're going to lose, at least lose in a way where your main guys aren't playing the last 18 minutes of the game running up and down the floor. They got a lot of rest, you know?
It's really the playoff experience and history of performing in clutch time that the Warriors have versus the youth and exuberance of a lot of the key younger players. And that's where I think the X factor in a lot of ways just comes down to Fred VanVleet. I think the youth and aggressiveness, and then it's, you know, Steven Adams is part of the big man lineup, but obviously is an older guy that can only play so many minutes. But when you use the big man lineup, having Şengün and Jabari Smith Jr. and their ability to make life uncomfortable for the Warriors offense, and then you know Jalen Green and whether he plays the way he did in Game 5, it's still the Jalen Green side, the youth can be either a benefit or a deficit. Mm-hmm. It can either be that, man, he's got all that energy, he's fresh, et cetera, but he's just got to stay settled down and play the way he did there. Fred VanVleet was shooting 28% from three in the first three games, and now he's been at, what, 60% over the last couple games, the high 60%.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the high 60s, but Fred VanVleet is a guy who's not wasting shots. And as a guy who can be effective offensively and just run the show, that's probably the biggest X factor. I expect a lot of the good things the Rockets did in Game 5 to continue in Game 6.
That's a good one. Like, who's the guy, who's the barometer for the team? And it might be Fred VanVleet in that if he has, you know, he had a great game, they all did, in Game 5. He had a great, great game in Game 4, and if they can make some free throws, they probably win that game too.
VanVleet was 21% from the three-point line in the first three games, and then 67% in games 4 and 5. And you don't look, he didn't have to be 67% in those last two games to have the blowout win in game 5.
Right.
But it's just having, if he can be above average or even average from three, And as long as Jalen Green plays exactly the same way he did in the first half before his, you know, before his knee got banged up, where he didn't turn the ball over at all. He made good decisions on when to kick it out. He didn't panic or freak out when he got blitzed. All of that. That's all he has to do. He doesn't. There's got to be zero part of Jalen Green that goes into this game thinking that it needs to be on him.
Be the guy.
Or
yeah.
that he needs to be a hero, or that he needs to drive into traffic at all costs. He's just got to do exactly what he did in game five.
Yep.
And in game two.
Yep. Okay, so this screamer at the game on the other night.
Oh, my gosh.
I only saw this on the internet yesterday. I didn't. I watched the local feed, the Space City Home Network feed.
I think it was on both feeds.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
It wasn't as loud all the time as you're about to hear, but it was constant throughout the game, or at least in the first half. There was somebody screaming in Toyota Center, and it was honestly the most annoying sound I've ever heard at any sporting venue. I would include that train whistle guy in New Orleans. I would include
what about the drums in Oakland back in the day?
I like the drums in Oakland.
You do? Even though they're playing it the whole game, you like it?
Yeah, I like those. It was kind of let you know you were watching the A's.
You disgust me. Okay.
I liked the drums.
You did?
It wasn't annoying. It was kind of, especially a lot of times when you're watching the A's, like what else? There's not a lot to get excited about.
No, that is true.
Okay, so for those of you, I apologize to those of you who have heard this and various people told me they had to turn the game volume off during free throws.
Wow.
This was going on pretty much the entire first half, at least.
Dennis. Well, Spiro and Candace, I love our conversation, but now per our conversation with Steve, you're fighting with these guys being seated so long, Candace, so now they're a little stiffer and not in the flow of the game. I don't think Steve Kerr would take that chance knowing that game six can definitely play.
Okay, So
are you couldn't hear that?
Well, I couldn't.
It was just Sean. Once you identify it, it's impossible to ignore it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I heard like a pitchy noise in the back. Just sounded like a long like.
Yes. Yeah. Because you'll think it takes you for a while. That's where it gets your attention. You're like, is that a human or is my TV screwed up?
Can we do it one more time? If I apologize.
Yeah. I'm astounded that you didn't identify. I immediately freak out over it.
Okay.
Dennis. Well, Spiro and Candace, I love our conversation. But now, per our conversation with Steve, you're fighting with these guys being seated so long, Candace. So now they're a little stiffer.
Okay, I was expecting more of like a shriek that was not as constant. You know, that sounded like a test signal on TV.
It was like when you woke up at 2 a.m. back in the day and the bars were on your TV
the
screen.
Rainbow bars, like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't keep sleeping through that.
Do we know the identity of this person? Do we know if it's a man or a woman?
I thought that the person, I'm assuming it was a woman.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a child. If it was a child, I don't want to expose the kid or anything.
Yeah, right.
It was a lot, man. I don't know about anybody sitting near the person in the, and I'm trying to think, I was like, okay, maybe I'm not watching enough, often enough with the sound on that this is common. And no, it was really annoying. And yet, few people made this point. Whatever was working at Toyota Center was working.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the clip that we just played, it was somebody had put it on the internet. It was when everybody, the Warriors and Rockets alike, were standing at the foul line, like looking off into the stands. Somebody on the bench was like looking behind him. What the hell's going on? Yeah.
Okay, well, this is where...
I'd like input from our listeners. Is that just only a few select ones of us that heard it and were annoyed by it? Or was it as widespread as I felt it should have been?
Well, you know, Seth, that when I'm at sporting events, that I am the hero that everybody needs. And if there's something going on negative in the radius around me, I'm not afraid to go find an usher or somebody to say, hey, can we put a stop to this either smell or behavior here? If you recall, I was the one who, sitting right behind the bullpen at Minute Maid Park, a couple 12- or 13-year-old youngsters came down, sat in empty seats next to me and Amy and several other people there that were not their seats, and they smelled like they hadn't bathed in about a week. They stunk. Yeah. And I wasn't the only one that noticed. What did I do? The hero that I am, and I know several of you called me a Karen after I did this, but I went and got the usher and said, they shouldn't be sitting in those seats. Those aren't their seats. I didn't make any comment about that they stunk, and if they had bathed, I probably would have let them sit there. So my question is, should the screamer be allowed to remain in their seats if they're being that big a distraction to everybody.
It's
there.
A dicey one. Like,
they're affecting the enjoyment of thousands of people at that moment.
Do you penalize a fan for being too exuberant? That's a tough one.
Is that even exuberance? They're just screaming at the top of their lungs, like with no context.
When I posted it, a lot of Rockets fans, Zep 1978, said we had to put the game on mute during the stream. Yeah. Drew Miller says literally had to mute every Rockets free throw. It was, I don't know what to do about it other than just complain about it on the radio.
Either,
and hope
man.
That somebody exerts some gentle pressure on that person to just please, just give your vocal cords a break for your own sake. That can't be healthy.
Right. I mean, hopefully this is an issue soon because it means they got to a game 7. You know, like if they lose tonight, then who cares? Yeah.
Are our texters weighing in yet? Did other people notice that wide scale?
I'll check right now. Someone says, bring the noise. Someone says, I heard her the entire time. It was definitely widespread. I thought my radio was messing up. It was so loud.
It was on the radio, too.
You can hear it on the radio, I guess. Obnoxious behavior. I heard it the whole game. These are all different texts. This is not one long text. She was so damn annoying. I absolutely heard it, and hearing it at the end of the fourth quarter when the bench is out taking free throws was ridiculous. That's my thing. If you're screaming like that when it's 30 – when there's not a single starter in the game and they're shooting free throws.
And when other people are yelling.
Yeah.
You know, in the fourth quarter, I didn't watch in real time for most of the second half. I had to get to bed to do a radio show.
Yeah.
And I perhaps foolishly just assumed that the Rockets
were
going to win
the game. You missed an intriguing fourth quarter.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Took a leap of faith. Yes.
Yeah. Someone said it sounded way worse on the local broadcast. I didn't hear it. It's weird. Maybe it's a dog whistle kind of thing, you know?
You multitask a lot while you're watching games.
I do.
You've got multiple screens on and everything.
Yes.
So you don't, you don't pick up on a lot of this stuff
it's
sometimes.
It's true. Yeah.
You didn't even know about the existence of river dancing. That's how little you're paying attention to the actual television.
Because I was so focused on preparing for my radio show, I would ultimately get 25 years later after the river dance was a thing.
Well, right. Whatever you were focused on at the time. You were looking at your race sheets or what have you.
That's probably true. I probably had my like preseason football gambling magazine out, and my buddies.
I got Johnny Knickers in the third tomorrow,
my buddies that I was living with at the time were probably standing next to me doing the river dance, and I didn't even notice. That's funny. A lot of people weighing in on. Boy, a lot of people weighing in. I heard her the entire time. The very annoying. I'm throwing my beer on her. Well, don't start anything with her. You know, that's my question. Like, is that? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, is that something? Is it? I guess you start with politely requesting, ma'am, like, this is the screaming's a little much. I'm speaking for everybody around me here. The screaming's a little much. And then you hope that doesn't start anything. But then with some people, it could go either way. She either stops or she starts doing it even more, you know?
Or then she gets belligerent about, oh, you don't want me to show enthusiasm? Like, no, I want you to show enthusiasm. But in the appropriate way.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that 99.99999% of other sports fans do.
Yeah.
Which is not screaming like a banshee in the most annoying tone ever. Like you're Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
It's the most annoying sound in the world. No, don't show enthusiasm that way.
Sean tells people.
That's like when you're a dictator and you're like, I'm going to just show my patriotism. How are you going to do that? By invading other countries and killing 10% of my own population.
She's
a Mao Zedong. You're Mao Zedong.
She's Mussolini.
That's what you are. You're no better than Mao.
Text message. Sean tells people to sit down at playoff games. All right, if this is going to turn into the Karen things that I do. Tells people to sit down at playoff games. No, I'm not a tell people to sit down. I am somebody. I'll stand up. But I think standing up is a thing that is only done at appropriate times as well during games.
I need feedback on this.
Okay.
I feel like this is the problem that has entered society in the last 10 years that is silently destroying many of us.
Wow. Okay.
For those of you who still go to movies. Okay. This is hard. We have a movie theater right across from our studio. We're very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really one of the reasons I chose this station to apply yes, my trade. Yes. So, and my show is over at 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, and morning radio, yes.
I like to go over and watch a matinee now and then, especially for movies that I know Brandy's not going to like. Exactly. I'm just going to go, I'm going to get a tub of popcorn, and I'm going to enjoy a movie the way it was meant to be enjoyed. So when you go to a movie at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on a weekday,
yeah,
there's not many people in there. But now with movie theaters, they have assigned seating.
Yeah.
So you go, you select your seat. Yeah. Okay, there I am, smack dab in the middle of the theater. And there's only like seven people in the theater, whatever.
You can see which seats. Yeah, you can see all the seats that are already taken, right?
So I go in, and this has happened multiple times. There's somebody sitting in a seat, like either my seat or just directly next to my seat,
yeah,
which clearly they're not sitting in their assigned seat. My first thought, I think like most people, is, all right, no big deal. Like, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I'll sit somewhere else. But then the problem becomes that then I'm going to be sitting in somebody else's seat, yeah, potentially, that's going to walk in, and then maybe they do have an issue with me sitting in their seat.
Right.
Or they just really wanted that seat, and they're not going to make a big deal out, yeah, of it. And I get very, like, I get torn. I don't want to be a Karen in that regard.
No.
But I feel like, come on, man. I had a chance to pick your seat.
Yeah.
Were you just so lazy about it and stupid,
no,
that you couldn't just pick the... It's you're pressing a button on the screen.
Yeah. This is
what
where
do I do?
I would say, okay, you're right. That person is being a bad person by just not sitting in their seat or selecting a seat right next to somebody. Like, even if that is
right,
their seat, like, what are you doing, dude? Like,
yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, maybe they selected that seat after I had selected mine, which is still, it's unlikely they'd be that stupid.
Yeah, I think it is I think it's a percentage of the theater that's filled. If it literally is only like six people in the theater, in a 200-person yeah, theater, I would just go find another seat and not worry about it too much.
Okay, but now this is where I am actually starting to get kind of PO'd at the person themselves because, yeah, you know, because usually, no, I picked the seat that was dead center where I want to sit. And if you want the benefits of an empty theater, it's like, okay, I want to be able to sit in where, like, you know, out of farting range at least.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, no, now I'm going to be sitting in a seat that all I did was press a button on the screen, and yeah, there, that's my seat.
Yeah.
But you decided to supersede that and go in and, yeah, okay, now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get, all right, I'm totally going to care.
Now, the funny thing would be, now, here's the thing. Let's say this person's sitting in your seat in a nearly empty theater, and you choose to walk up and say, hey, that's my seat. The excuse I would give is, this is the view that I chose right here. I like sitting right here.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Like, this is the view I wanted.
Of the screen.
I selected it.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Why are you sitting in this seat? Now, the risk you run is that they only move like two seats down from you in a nearly
yeah,
empty theater.
And then you're in a hole.
Like, there is
yeah,
a certain distance they then need to move to where yeah, I'm comfortable. Like, at least seven seats away from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Farting radius is a valid thing. I hadn't thought about that. But that's
The most uncomfortable situation I ever had in a movie theater was Brandy and I were in a pretty packed theater. We came in and sat down,
mm-hmm,
and there was a woman who had her foot up between the like on the armrest between Brandy and I.
Yeah,
and I just turned around and I was like, "Would you mind moving your feet, please?" And she did, and with a harumph said, after I turned back around, said, "Could have sat anywhere in the theater."
Oh.
And I'm looking around. I'm like, I turned around. I was like, "Hey, ma'am." No, we couldn't. There's quite a few people in here.
Yeah.
And B, if you had found somebody to come watch this movie with you, I think they would agree with me.
Yeah.
She was alone.
She was yeah, by herself. if you had any friends, that's yeah, how you really stick the knife in. If you had any friends, you would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right. Movie theater etiquette. Help Seth out with this. I don't have a great answer for it, but what do you do?
I've already, you know what? I don't need the advice. From now on, I'm doing it. I'm just going to say, listen, man.
My seat.
I wanted to sit here. I chose this seat because I was in the middle. Yeah.
I like the view from this seat. Yeah. That's what it is right there. All right. Charles Barkley is worried about his good friend, Bill Belichick. And this is, okay, is this out of bounds? Kirk Minahane is a host up in Boston. Used to be on the radio. Now he streams. Called Michael Lombardi on the phone to ask about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. Mike Lombardi is Bill Belichick's GM at the University of North Carolina. Is this out of bounds? Wait till you hear how this call went down. We'll have that for you coming up next.